the Lord. This is Clear Vision, and I am Rose, and boy, is it ever clear vision today. We have had some powerful messages in the Lord in the studio today, and I have another one right now for you called Get What You Say. I have the wonderful privilege today of having Pastor Tony Andrade with me from Family Worship Center. He's the pastor there in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and he's been on the program with me before, and we got into hearing his wonderful message on Job and sharing about that, and we didn't get to finish, and I don't think we could ever finish about Job, but today we're going to get into some more of that message and really bring you to a blessing in God with the stories that we need to understand about Job. Everybody wants to think that Job had this hard, desperate, defeated life. And he did have a terrible time of it for a little bit. But there was an end to that. And it was way beyond anything Job even dreamed could happen. So we're going to talk about it. And the message today is you get what you say. And when I started looking into the beginnings of Job, I realized that the Lord says, whatsoever we ask and say in his name, believing, it will be done. See, we get what we say, whether it's negative or positive, whether it's the word or not the word. We get what we say. And Job, in chapter 3, verse 25, clearly describes what happened to Job. In one verse here, it says, Job says, for the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, and that of which I am afraid befalls me. The thing I fear has come upon me. It's befallen me. See, fear will bring things on you. Fear activates the enemy. Fear is faith perverted. You're believing in what you're afraid of. When you believe in what you're afraid of, you activate fear. And now it's going to come to pass. So we've got to stop this fear business. And God wants us to understand that we can learn from the past, we can learn from our mistakes, we can learn from other people's mistakes in their past. But we're not to turn the past into a museum and the future into a cemetery. I was praying this morning, and the Lord showed me that. People turn their past into museums. They build monuments to their past. They want to talk about everything happened wrong yesterday, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Maybe it didn't even happen to them. Maybe it happened to somebody they just know. And they live it, and they nurse it, and they talk about it. Or they turn their future into a cemetery. Oh, I'm so fearful. What's going to happen tomorrow? What if I this? What if I don't that? What if I can't this? What if this happens? What if that happens? Well, what if it doesn't? Chicken little, the sky isn't falling, okay? You can think of it like that if you want to. And you can keep remembering your past and you can and never forget it. But God wants you to know you can forget it. And you must forgive it. You must forgive it. Is your past haunting you or encouraging you? I know people who live in their past. They had as a good things. They lived in past. They had great successes in the past. And it was so great they want to continue to live on in today and not do anything today. So let's get out of the past today. And the things that happened bad, I can't stand it when somebody says, I know how you feel. I understand. I know just exactly what you went through because I went through the same thing. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, and no, you can't. You can't measure pain. And you can't measure the greatness of God. You can't measure it. And you don't know. You don't know what someone's gone through. You may know something similar, but you can't know the same. That's because we're all different. We all deal with things in a different way and have our different ideas and things that we think. And when we get out of line with the Word, we're really out there with being different. But God wants you to know that He loves you and that He has power. I'm going to be welcoming Pastor Tony on the second segment of the program here in a minute. In the meantime, I want you to watch the offers that I'm making to you, to call me to pray, to order your DVD Strong Mountain, and to order your devotional book, your 30-day devotional. God loves you. I love you. I'm Rose. I'll see you in just a minute. And wow, is this ever clear vision today?
Order today your DVD copy of Strong Mountain. Let God establish you in His power. You are secure. Stop seeing negative circumstances as greater than they are. You are God's strong force on His behalf on this earth. Learn to start seeing yourself as God's established Strong Mountain. Rise up blessed every day in God's love and power. Order today your DVD copy of Strong Mountain. Request today offer number 25 entitled Strong Mountain.
Blessed today. We're talking about everything in the Lord today, even including Big Brown in Kentucky. And God is big God, isn't He? And this is Clear Vision, and I'm Rose, and you've been watching the offers on the product, and I want you to order your DVD, Strong Mountain. Learn who you are in the Lord. You are His strong mountain by His favor, not because you decide to be or choose to be, but because He says you are. And then when you agree with Him, then you can start operating in your life that way. And then I have the 30-day devotional, 30 Days, The Champion in You, and that is powerful teachings. 30 days of scripture, 30 days of teaching, 30 days of prayers that God will use and change your thinking. When you change your thinking, God changes your life, because His Word is medicine. It heals, it's water, it cleanses, it restores, it delivers. It gives you everything in your life you need. So order both of these. Call the ministry. Write. Ask for me. Ask for Karen, Louise, whoever you want to ask for. Just get these two pieces of blessing that I want to give you. I'm blessed today to be with Pastor Tony Andrade and have him on the program. And he's with the Family Worship Center in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. And Tony was with me before. On one of the other broadcasts, and Tony, we didn't get done. And I was so amazed at the way the Lord was leading you. And I know you're a pastor, and you are, pastors are going to preach and they're going to talk. So I'm hoping that I, as a person who's an interviewer, I can just turn you loose. But you know I'm going to have a hard time with that, don't you?
That's all right.
But you have a message, honey, you want to share out of Job. And I'm going to interject with you, because I have some things the Lord showed me in Job, and I know it's the same thing, because the Word's the Word. So
right.
Turn loose on us, honey.
Well, I want to talk about restoration this afternoon because that's something that Job experienced in his life.
Wow.
Job went through.
Wow.
Job, like a lot of people, go through so many things that are discouraging. He suffered loss.
Horrible things.
Terrible things. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost many servants. He lost cattle. I mean, about the worst thing that could happen to anybody, except for Jesus Christ, happened to Job. And when people go through things in life, oftentimes they feel like that they're the only ones that are going through mm-hmm. that pain and that hurt. Mm-hmm. But Job, I love Job, because Job encompasses every aspect of human suffering and pain and sorrow, and it allows people that are hurting to connect with someone who's been
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
If you've not suffered or hurt, and someone is telling you about their pain, you can't relate to their pain. You can't help them unless you've been through some things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not going through things that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting through.
Yes.
Where you are today,
yes.
And then looking to God to recover. the things that you've suffered, the things that you've lost, whether it's your health, your finances, our economy is in disarray. People are losing jobs, they're losing their life savings, they're losing their health, their mind, they're worried. And when you lose anything or suffer in any way, you've got to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that you're gonna recover and receive and get through it.
That's
somehow
true. And the people that are experiencing these things, the ones that haven't experienced it are afraid they're going to. If they haven't experienced it, if they're experiencing it, they're already in it.
Correct.
So now that's happening to you.
Right.
But the ones that haven't experienced it are sitting there afraid they're going to have it happen.
That's true.
So they're either losing it or they're afraid they're going to.
You can't live that way.
No.
That's no way to live a life.
No.
That's not faith. You've got to know that when you wake up, no matter what happens in that day, God's going to be with you and He's going to get you through that day.
Yes.
But I think one of the things that's so important to communicate today is to our viewers is that being a Christian does not exempt us from suffering. There's people that say or communicate this message that as long as you do this, do that, go to church, read your Bible, pray, treat your wife right, be a good parent, that only good things happen to you. But Job is the epitome of what happens to a person who loves God. There was no person more righteous than God, who feared God, closer to God, as people would say, close to God, yet he suffered things in his life.
Jesus said, in the world, you will have troubles, trials, and tribulations. But rejoice, I have overcome the world and deprived it of power to harm you. In other words, we're going to have those things come against us.
That's right.
So the message is that people minister that says we won't ever have that if we just do this.
It's a false teaching.
Not acknowledging that scripture, that Jesus said that. He said, in the world you will have troubles, trials, and tribulations.
That's what he said.
But rejoice, I have overcome the world and deprived it of power to harm you. So even if that trial comes up and you're in it, you've made a mistake. You've put your big foot out in front of the truck, as I keep saying, and it's run over you. Well, the power for it to harm you, he's going to take hold of that. He's going to heal your foot. Amen?
That's right.
He's going to bring healing into your body. He's going to bring knowledge into your mind. So go ahead now.
Well, and when you're going through a trial, as you're speaking today, we need to understand that we're not alone, as you said. But what people need to know is that no matter where you are in life or what you're going through, God has a way out, a way through, and he has a word for us. And the thing that we need to know is that we need to know what is it that God's saying to me that's going to help me today with where I am and what I'm going through. And the last chapter, Job, is where God spoke to Job. He always shows up. God is so faithful to show up. He showed up in this great, beautiful whirlwind. This breeze of God's presence and glory showed up. It was right over his life. And out of the cloud, out of that whirlwind, God began to speak directly to Job, to where he was, to what he was going through, and how he felt. Had God not showed up and spoken to Job, Job perhaps would not have made it in the end.
Is he doing that today?
He's doing it right now. He's doing it right now to preachers somewhere that have been hurt and become disillusioned because they've been hurt by somebody in church.
Yes.
To a wife that's been hurt by her spouse. To a child by their... There's so many people that go through so many things. But that's when everything began to turn around for Job. When God spoke.
Yes.
Now here's the important thing. What are we going to do with what God is speaking to us, with where we are in our life today and how we feel?
Yes.
You see, it's not enough to know that God spoke because we have God's word. This is God speaking to us.
Yes.
But what am I going to do in response to what he's saying to me with where I am and what I need to do?
Yes.
And that's the key. When God spoke to Job, Job responded. Not everybody responds in the correct way. Some people get mad. They resist God, tune him out.
Mm-hmm.
Job was anxious to hear, what do you have to say to me, God? When God spoke, Job was all ears. God told him what to do. Now, when God spoke to Job, he immediately humbled himself and repented. In verse 6, it says, chapter 42, wherefore I abhor myself and I repent and dust and ashes. Because, you see, Job thought he was right and that his friends were wrong. His friends thought that Job was wrong and that they were right.
Mm-hmm.
They were all wrong, but Job was more right than his friends, but they were all wrong. But Job felt good in that he felt like, I know that I'm right about how I feel, where I am. God said, Job, you're wrong. Your friends are wrong. You're all wrong. It was a shock for him. How could someone who feels that they're so right be so wrong?
Yes.
God says, well, it's true. You're wrong.
Yes.
It hit him like a ton of bricks. Job immediately fell on his face. He apologized to God.
Yes.
Because even though he was sincere, he was sincerely wrong. And he says, and he repented. And then God told him to go and do something that's very difficult. God told him to go and to pray for his friends who had hurt him.
Yes, yes.
That was tough to do.
That was the key, wasn't it?
But if you want to get through where you are and get help and get beyond the pain and the hurt and the suffering and whatever has happened to us, to someone else.
I love what it said there before 6. Because God had been asking him up in that other chapter, said, "Who do you say that I am?"
Correct.
And he said, "I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you." Mm. Wow.
He always sees us.
Oh, I remember when I first read that, Tony, back in the 90s. Honey, I had heard about the Lord. I was a Christian. I'd been a Christian since 1975. I was a miserable, unhappy Christian. And when God showed me that scripture, "I'd heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you." In other words, now I understand you're God.
He experienced the presence of God up close and personal and face to face.
Yes, wow.
God is a personal God. We have a personal relationship. Mm. And to be in the presence of the Good Shepherd, and not just to hear about him, but mm-hmm. to see him face mm-hmm. to face, mm-hmm. to feel the touch of mm-hmm. his hand, the warmth of his love, to have the shadow of his glory and his care and compassion cast on you, that gives hope.
Yes.
And that's where hope came, where Job had lost hope.
Yes,
he had no help.
Yes, Lord.
He had lost his hope. But when God showed up and he saw his presence and he witnessed his glory, it changed his life. And then God told him to go. He says, "Now I've spoken to your so-called friends and I've told them to go and to offer sacrifices, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for anybody."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then he says in verse 8, he says, he told those guys that were Job's friends, "I want you guys that have caused more harm than good to your so-called friend Job, you guys have hurt him more than you've helped him." You know, people sometimes trying to help us do more harm than good.
Right.
They mean well.
Right.
But they don't always do the right thing.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
They make it worse.
That's what I was talking about earlier. I know how you feel, talk. I know how you feel. No, you don't. You can't.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so God told Job's friends, he says, "I want you guys to go and offer these sacrifices." And there were numerous, 7 bullocks, 7 rams. You know, God required a lot from those guys. They had done a lot of harm, hurt him deeply.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I expect a lot from you." See, people want God just to slap them on the hand. "Well, it was my bad. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect." God says, you don't know how you've hurt Job, guys. I want 7 bullocks, 7 this, 7. I require a lot from you, because you've done a lot to harm this man of God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and he's going to pray for you. He's going to pray for you. And him will I accept, mm-hmm. because his heart's right.
Mm-hmm.
And lest I deal with your folly. You guys, he said, you're just so messed up. You guys are so odd in left field. But Job's going to help you. See, those guys were trying to help him, but were making it worse. But Job mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. going to help them.
Yes.
And by Job helping them, he was going to help himself.
Yes, yes.
But God told Job how to help those guys. He says, I want you to go and pray for them. He says, because what you guys have said about me to Job is not right. You've missed it. We've all missed God. Mm-hmm. And we will miss God. No one's always right. Mm-hmm. No one's batting 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball players become multimillionaires for getting 3 hits out of 10 at bats.
Yes.
That's 300 average.
Yes, yes.
These guys
yes.
thought that they were batting 1,000.
Yes.
They were striking out.
Yes. Yes.
God says, you guys have struck out today. I'm telling you, if you want to hit a home run, you let Job pray for you. Now, that's hard to let somebody pray for you who's hurt you or that you've hurt.
Yes.
But that's what God said to do.
Yes. Yes.
He says, Job's going to pray for you. And that's where the turnaround came in verse 10. It says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. It's hard to pray for someone who's just hurt you so deeply like those guys had. But that's what God required.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes to get us through and get our turnaround and restore us is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
So Job prayed for his friends, and then that's when the restoration arose. God restored 5 things in his life. I don't know if I have time to cover these I'll be quick. He restored 5 things in his life. After Job said, "I'm sorry to God," and his friends said, "They're sorry to Job," God restored 5 things in his life. He restored, first of all, his family. Over in verse 11, it says, after he prayed for his friends, the first thing that happened was his brothers and sisters came. You don't see them anywhere in 42 chapters of Job to the very last chapter.
Yes.
His family comes.
Yes, yes.
Number 2, it says that he restored his friends. Verse 11 says, and all of those who had been his acquaintances showed up mm-hmm. at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go through hard times, bad things, relationships are affected. Mm-hmm. Walls are built up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Friends came back. We can't make it without friends. And then it says he restored his fellowship. Look at verse 11 again. And they came and they did eat bread with him.
Yes.
In Job's house. What good is it to have brothers and sisters and family and friends if you can't fellowship with people?
Right,
these people that
right.
go to church who have brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, but they don't fellowship with them.
Right.
That's a
right.
Satan strategy.
Yes.
Restored his finances. It says that every man also gave him a piece of money. So God says, I'm going to fix it.
Money
and
gold.
I'm going to bless you with money.
Yeah.
Everybody started giving him money. And then they started giving him gold on top
you,
of the
Lord.
Money.
Thank you, Lord.
God began to
thank
bless
you,
him.
Lord.
And then the very last thing he restored to him was his faith. Because in this emotional roller coaster ride that Job was on, no doubt, no, many times he probably felt like jumping off. He said, I wish I was never born. I wish I was dead. But and he doubted God.
Have you ever been there?
Many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah. And there's people
watching. And he began to question God. He had questions with no answers.
There's people watching, Tony, that they are there. They feel like God's abandoned them. They don't
That's
know
right.
which way to go. They feel like their life is not worth anything. They're over and they're hopeless. They feel hopeless.
Or they're just confused. They have no answers. And it doesn't make any sense. It's nonsensical. It's dark. It's confusing. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And God's nowhere to be found. But, you know, he finally showed up and he spoke.
Yes.
But in the meantime, the meantime place is the difficult place where people have a tendency to lose their faith in God. When it's dark, I know where I want to be, but I'm not there yet. What do I do in the meantime?
The answer with Job was his prayer to forgive his friends.
That's the key. He let go of some stuff.
He forgave and he let go of the past. That was what activated the power of God that was always there.
And see, the restoration.
It's always there. God's told me this so many times. Rose, what I say has already been done, whether you believe it or not. But when you believe it, I can bring it into your life.
When you believe it and receive it.
Receive it,
because
yes.
Jesus died to forgive. And listen, on the cross, one of his last things he said was, Father, forgive them. Jesus was dying to forgive people.
Yes.
And he's dying for us to forgive other people and to forgive ourselves so we can go on with our lives.
And receive.
And have faith in God.
That key word there, receive, jumped on me.
That's right.
Because many people believe something, but they don't receive it.
And you can't get your turnaround without receiving what you believe in or what you so-called believe in.
Right.
It's one thing to confess. But it's I believe.
Right. Tony, I think we've run out of time again. I don't know where the time goes with you,
it's just been a privilege
out of here.
Joy.
Well, I'll be at your church in July.
That's correct, July the 9th.
And maybe again later after that, once you hear some more things that's going on.
All right.
But thank you so much again for coming.
It's an honor to be with you.
Honey, you just bless me so. When you're in front of the public, I'm not a pastor, but I consider myself evangelist. I consider myself television in ministry. It just really means a lot to have you in my life and to hear your words for me.
Thank you.
And I value you, and I don't know how we're going to figure out how to keep having you on, but we got to do it.
Thank you for allowing me to come. It's been a privilege and a joy to serve and to be with you today.
Well, there's going to be people calling that may need to hear from you specifically, so I'll see to it you get those calls.
Thank you.
We have again come to the end of a program. We're out of time, and I want you to understand that we've been here with clear vision. This is the clearest vision you can get. That's why the program is called that. I am Rose. I come on this program every time I come to bring you the word in such a way that it changes your life. It cleanses your mind. It heals your body, because God is his word. And my little granddaughter this weekend, Bailey, I was so blessed to hear her say at the dinner table, someone said to her, you know, Bailey, you're too kind. You're too nice. And she didn't miss a step. She didn't make a pause. She spoke up, 11 years old, and she said, you know what? I refuse for anything or anybody to make me say something that's not kind or not honor my Lord. I jumped out of my seat. Because this is 11 years old talking. and she's a child, but she has the mind of God. She has the mind of Christ, and she understands that she's called to serve Him. She's already announced that to the whole family, that she understands that she is going to serve the Lord and minister His word all over the world. So in the next programs, in the next months, Miss Bailey's going to be here to share her experience with the Lord and her salvation, her baptism, and how the enemy bothers her. She told me one day, she said, "Mimi, the devil's always telling me that God doesn't exist and that He's not real, and that I don't need to believe anything you say about Him." And then she said, "I figured it out and I thought about it after I asked the Lord, and He told me. He told me that since the enemy was so concerned that God isn't real, then what's he doing talking so much about it? In other words, if he's not real, you don't need to talk about it." That's 11 years old, folks, talking. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the mind of the child? Like God says, be like little children. Just easy, simple to believe. Just easy and simple to trust. God wants us to know that we can depend on Him, that we can trust Him, that we can read His word, we can receive His word, like Tony said. We can speak it, receive it. You see, the devil reads the word, and he believes the word, but he doesn't know what the word says. He doesn't understand what it means, and he doesn't receive it. He will never receive it, and he'll never know what it is because God's never going to reveal it to him. But you can, because God has you carved in the palms of His hands, and He's ready. He's ready for you to receive Him. Receive Him today. Give me a call. Let me know that you're wanting prayer. If you need to talk to Pastor Tony, call us. Let us know. We'll give you his phone number and way to reach him. We love you so much here at Clear Vision. We love you at Rose Ministries. I'm Rose, and I will be seeing you next time. Until then, remember, God's word changes your life. And God is good. He's a good God. We love you. See you next time.
Rose invites you to join her for a powerful time in the glory with Jesus you'll never forget. Plan now to come to this exciting event at Mount Sterling, Kentucky, September 19th and 20th, Friday night at 7 p.m. and Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of Glory Church. Call now 1-859-748-9961 for more information and directions. Or visit our website at www.jesusandrose.com.